sports. And as you heard, high school football beginning next Friday here in our area. We're looking forward to it. Our games of the week next Friday, Thunder Ridge at Lakeside on KD Country 94, Fairbury, Nebraska at Beloit on Z96.3 The Lake. And to just get you primed and ready for the beginning of high school football season, John Betts, the publisher of the Kansas Pregame Football Magazine, is with us to talk high school football. Well, I would imagine, John, you're just relieved that the magazine is in the books. It's out to all the sponsors. And as far as you know, there's no hiccups, no major errors. There wasn't a single typo in the entire magazine, right?
I wish that was the case. Man, that's the worst part of it is, like, it's exciting when you send it to print, but when you get it back and you start going through it and you're like just this morning I saw the word season that should have been pluralized to seasons, and honestly, there is, you know, less than 1% of the readership that catches that or cares about it or anything like that. But for me, it's like, oh, how did I miss that? But yep, that's it. And I am to that point where we have 99% of the distribution done. I've got one little location out in the middle of Kansas that I got to get copies to, and having it all up and people digesting it and giving us feedback. Yeah, it's really relieving. Now, for me, I got to start thinking about the Kansas Hardwood publication and get to going on that. So there's not a lot of relief, but fortunately, there's the excitement of heading into a new football season.
You know, I know what you're going through, because when I was in Seneca, we did a not as big a magazine as you have here, but we did a magazine for basketball season. We did it for football season. I was in charge of writing stories for certain leagues, and that was took. First of all, I didn't really love doing that because it took a lot of time, especially trying to get a hold of the coaches and trying to get the information to put together a solid, informative article. And then, of course, you're doing it ahead of time when things can change. A kid may go to another school, or a kid may get hurt, or whatever it may be. And you're right. You look through your work and you see an error and you're like, oh goodness, why? We proofed it three times. How did we miss that? And at the same time, the normal person just watching it, and not watching it, but reading it, probably won't catch that at all. Sometimes we're our worst critics, aren't we?
Yeah, no doubt. And we had a couple incidents like that this year with kids changing that are probably very noteworthy to your listeners. One of those was Mikey Wagner, the Riley County running back linebacker, 1,000-yard rusher. He had indicated to his coach that for whatever reason he wasn't going out this fall. Well, I mean, the day after we sent the magazine to print, Coach Wagner sends us a note and says, hey, he's decided he's going to come out. So actually, in print, it says Mikey Wagner will be missed in the offensive backfield and on defense for Riley County, but I was able to update it for the digital edition online. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that probably everybody in your community, in your area, has heard about is Tabor Vetter, a former Beloit resident, mm-hmm. like transferred to Wamego from Rock Creek. And as I understand it, he actually transferred so late that he missed the first practice and then practiced on the second day. And so we had him featured in our special teams return man feature, and the kid is an absolute phenomenal player, especially in the return game. And so we've got a picture of him in his Rock Creek uniform saying Rock Creek Mustangs, and he's going to be a Wamego Red Raider this year. And he's going to have a huge impact for that team with their new coach, Weston Moody. And that stuff, there's just nothing you can do about it. You do the best that you can, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Nope, you're right about that. John Betts, publisher of Kansas Pregame Football Magazine, our guest today, talks some high school football. So let's jump into let's start with the NPL, the Northern Plains League. And the reason I want to start there is you have at least three new football coaches: Brandon Wise at Osborne, Dustin Petit at Lincoln, Joel Struckoff, who was a tremendous player at Thunder Ridge, is now their head football coach, which means we're all getting old if Joel Struckoff is now a head football coach, although he's pretty young. So just talk about some of those changes that take place at the top of these football programs.
Well, you know, Joel Struckoff, an exceptional player and a guy that was a Kansas pregame cover boy. You know, I think he has an opportunity to do some good things there. He's got some kids coming back. The most significant player that he'll be missing is his younger brother, Reese, who's not going to be able to play varsity this fall because he had transferred to Stockton last year, and he lost his appeal on the transfer back to Thunder Ridge. Reese has the potential to be an outstanding player. I believe he's going into his junior year. I believe he's going to be allowed to practice and play junior varsity, as I understand it. And you know, then heading into his senior year, he'll have an opportunity to be a really, really great player. He's bigger than Joel. He's a very, very muscular kid, very fast, and somebody that could make an impact. You know, when you look at Brandon Wise at Osborne, he was an assistant last year. He's still got Colin Reiner that's going to help him out. The thing for Osborne is numbers. They only have 14 kids out. And, of course, you know, the Holloway brothers are absolutely key to their success. Two of the best football players all classes in the state of Kansas. And Darian, frankly, is the fastest kid that I saw play in person last year. But health, you know, if they're healthy, if Darnell and Darian are healthy, they're one of the best teams in the state of Kansas. But, you know, if they lose either of those guys, it could be problematic for Coach Wise in his first year there. And I talked so much about those two teams, I've already forgot who the other team that you mentioned was.
Well, Lincoln, right there in your backyard.
Oh, absolutely. I think Dustin Petit is a home run hire. I really didn't know if Lincoln was going to be able to get a coach of that caliber because of the situation with the program the last 2 years where they just really struggled. But you know what? They found an opportunity for him in the weights and PE program. I think that he has done a great job with the places that he's been before as both an assistant and a head coach, learned a lot about the game. He's got, I think, 20 kids out, and he's got some young talent. Tyler Good is a kid that's going to be one of the best eight-man football players in the state of Kansas by the time it's all said and done. And I also think he has a favorable schedule. I really think that Lincoln could have one of the biggest jumps of any team in the state at the eight-man level. Now, I'm a Lincoln fan. As a resident here in Lincoln and the former owner of the newspaper for the last 17 years, I would say I'm an optimist when it comes to Lincoln football. But I know that I think the community, I've talked to some parents, they feel really good about the hire of Coach Steve.
All right, what about Rock Hills? You've got here in the eight-man Division II preseason rankings in your magazine. You got Hanover 1, Rock Hills 2, Osborne 3, Otis Bison 4, and Axtell 5. So obviously you like what Rock Hills has.
Well, Rock Hills has probably the best backfield in eight-man football. When you look at, and I never pronounce this kid's last name right, is it Derek Gillette or Gillette?
Well, Dusty would be the better person to ask right now. Well, you said both, so you covered it one way or the other, John.
So Derek at quarterback, who looked exceptional at the Sharp top prospect combine early this summer, throwing the ball to a bunch of 4A, 5A, 6A wide receivers. He's a really nice quarterback. Zane Colson, of course, who was on our cover this year, a great player, hard-nosed player, great speed. And then Riley Welcho, who is, frankly, one of the just most freakish athletes in the state of Kansas all classes. You know, he's like a bench 300 clean, 300 squat, 500 kid that runs a sub-11 100. Now, the storyline with him is, how does he recover from this injury? You know, when he pulled up with the leg, with the tendon injury in the 200 during regionals in the track season. As I understand it, he's recovered well over the summer, that they anticipate him being cleared to play early in the season, but they're not sure, you know, whether he's going to play those first couple of games. And as I understand that injury, it's similar to the injury that ended Bo Jackson's career, where the muscle is so strong that it actually pulled a piece of the bone off of the hip bone. But if all three of those guys are healthy, they're going to be one of the fastest backfields, and they're going to be very tough to stop.
What about also in Lincoln County, Sylvan Lucas?
Sylvan Lucas lost a lot of kids last year. Obviously, R.J. Haber, the quarterback, got injured late in the season, actually couldn't play the playoff game. Owen Kruger, who was the Lincoln transfer that rushed for over 1,000 yards, was an eight-man all-star, and I think he went to play football at the University of St. Mary, graduated, and he played very well in the Otis Bison playoff game. They had them leading early. Dylan Streit, the big tight end, I think he's a 6'5 kid. Those three guys, they're going to miss a lot, but they have some pieces back. Bo Batchman, who was Ryan Batchman's son. Ryan's been an assistant over in Sylvan for many, many years. He's a Lincoln native. I think Bo's going to make the move from the offensive line to the backfield, and he'll be, you know, a big part of what they do there. And then they have a couple of the Barrientos kids. One's going to be up front on the line. One's going to be in the backfield. And I think that they'll certainly be competitive, especially against schools of similar size. They may struggle against some of the eight-man one schools, But there's no doubt that at least early they're going to take a step back from losing those big three players that were so important in what they did.
A couple other teams that are certainly right here in the middle of our coverage area, St. John's Tipton Blue Jays and Lakeside Knights. What's the prognosis for those two teams this year?
Well, you know, I bet you guys know you probably have a better feel of St. John's. I think, it looks like St. John's returns a lot of experience. Of course, they lose Ty Brummer, who was a do-everything player for them, but they do have a number of starters back, and somebody was telling me that there's one of the younger Schmidt brothers, the big tall kid. I understand that he's coming along very well and will have a great impact for them along the offensive line. A lot of experience from what was a young team last year, but they got to find somebody to replace the Brummer kid. I know very little about Lakeside right off the top of my head, as far as what they have returning, up front or in the backfield at all.
Well, Lakeside last couple of years, they have that horrendous schedule to start the year, and then they have a little bit more of a favorable district later in the year, and we'll see how Lakeside fares. We'll talk a lot more about them coming up next week on the Football Express, and then, of course, our high school football scoreboard show after the games, and we'll have Lakeside season opener against Thunder Ridge on Friday, August 31st on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Pike Valley, Don Melby not being the coach. That's just going to be a little bit weird, probably like it was weird when Roger Bard is no longer the head coach at Smith Center. Pike Valley had a sensational season a year ago. What do they have coming back, and how good can they be?
They don't have much coming back. You know, you hate to be too blunt about high school football, you know, because it's a bunch of teenage kids and their family, and they're out there working hard. But there's no way that you cannot suffer with the loss of a Lane Peters and a Cole Strickler and a Devontae Hammer and a Anton Reeves. Just in the backfield, amongst the fastest backfields in the state of Kansas when you look at those kids. And, they're not going to find replacements for all those guys. There's just no way that they're in that school. So, you know, you hope that they come along and they develop, and they likely are going to take some knocks over the course of the season, but hopefully they develop some experience to fit into some of those roles. And those guys were starters for so long. That's the other factor, let alone the talent and the work ethic. They were starters for so long, it's hard to replace that experience after you've had such a successful run.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back here with some of the districts we're looking at here. Well, 8-man, then we'll shift into NCAA with Beloit and then Smith Center Mid-Continent League. But it is different this year with the classifications and the districts, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a moment. But certainly, you know, Drew Cunningham was a stud for Lakeside. He's no longer there. Peyton Johnson was an outstanding receiver. If Caleb Hake, that is back, one of the key returners. Wyatt Eberly was a good tackler on the defense. And then Mason Dusky and others. So Lakeside, it'll be interesting because they will not be in as tough of a district as they've been in the past. St. John's, Tipton, Lynn, Pike Valley, and you mentioned Pike Valley is down, certainly. Southern Cloud, which they have struggled for a while. Tescott, and then we've talked about Rock Hill, should be really good this year. And so when you look at the changing of districts, which I think is always good for teams that are in difficult districts, those that are in easy districts don't like the changes that take place. But how has that affected people across the board when it comes to the classifications? And now you have teams like Conway Springs 2A and Colgan 1A. It's a whole different animal, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think the overall change in the smaller class district systems, it may not leave us with that much different of an end result, mm-hmm. because you're still going to have, I mean, the district that you provide as an example is a perfect example. I mean, if we're just guessing, you know, Rock Hills is a top five program, and all of those other teams are going to be competing for those scraps, so to speak. And when they get cross bracketed across to the next district, how are they going to fare against the top seeds there and that kind of thing? You know, I think the goal of the revision of the playoff system, or at least if it's not, at least what it should be is to allow the best teams to go the furthest in the playoffs as possible.
Right.
And in the smaller class scenarios, I don't know that we're going to get that much more of those teams going that much deeper. I still think we're probably going to name the state champion that would have been the state champion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we may not have the runner-up that would have been the runner-up. But the huge thing for the smaller classes, for 3A and the 2A demand divisions, is getting rid of that Tuesday playoff game.
Exactly.
That it has been so important. I've been a coach and been fortunate to have an opportunity to play that Tuesday playoff game. But it is absolutely brutal on coaches to play Thursday, Tuesday, Saturday. And you spend that whole weekend, you know, you spend that Friday night furiously putting together a game plan into Saturday, and then you practice on Saturday, and you probably practice on Sunday. And it's just so hard for both coaches and families and kids. I mean, that's lost on people a little bit. Certainly it's about the, you know, Greg Koenig was always talking about how important it is to get rid of that Tuesday playoff game for kids' safety, because the fatigue adds to those, the risk of those risky injuries, the ability to get the body rehydrated, those kind of things, but also the toll that it takes on families to shove that all in such a short period of time. I think that that's really good that Tuesday playoff game is gone. Now, as a fan of the game, what I'm really disappointed is that the 8-man games will now be on the same day as the 11-man games, because I love being able to go to the 8-man games and then watch the 11-man games the next week.
Right.
But I think it's far more important that Tuesday playoff game be out of the picture, and that's the real benefit of what's happened with the playoff system this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Playing, in some cases, teams play 3 games in 10 days, and if you're low on numbers already or have some key injuries, it's really, really difficult. And I like the fact you brought up the family aspect. Many people forget about that. So let's regroup or recount this here. Hanover, Rock Hills, Osborne, Otis, Bison, Axtell, your top 5 and 8-man, too, in the Kansas Pregame Football Magazine. We're speaking to John Betts, the publisher of that publication. 8-man Division 1, Hoxie 1, Victoria 2, Central Plains 3, South Central 4, Hodgman County 5. Let's jump to Class 3A, which is a little bit different. You got the likes of Andale and Topeka Hayden and Holton and others that are now 3A. It is a different look. You got Andale number 1, Sabetha 2, Heston 3, Scott City 4, Topeka Hayden 5. Beloit, with second-year head coach Brad Gober, they have 33 kids on the roster, which I think they probably would have wanted a little bit more than that, but 33 to work with. But they certainly have some talent, especially in the backfield, returning from last year.
Yeah, and 3A is going to be the deepest, toughest classification to play in. And I think Beloit has the opportunity to be very, very good. The only reason that we didn't mention them in the others is that, I mean, they might be the 15th best team in the classification,
mm-hmm.
but the top of the classification is just so good. When Andale, obviously year in, year out, it's going to be fantastic, and they're going to have 70 kids on their sideline. And Sabetha returns a bunch of talent from a state championship winning team. You know, Holton and Hayden and Scott City and these team names that you've heard be a key part of the 4A race for years now kind of lead the top of this 3A classification. I think Beloit has some exceptional talent. The first thing I will say is that I had the opportunity to see Hudson Gray play in person last year, and I want to note that I watch a lot of film, but there are things that you take from watching a kid play in person that you can't get from film. And Hudson Gray was the most accurate long ball throwing quarterback that I watched play in person last year. That, and I actually just watched some film just before we came on, and that kid's accuracy talent is amongst the tops in all classes in the state of Kansas. His arm strength, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes or anything like that, but the ability to drop a ball in on a fade or to hit a crosser and lead him just right, I mean, there's a lot of evidence out there that he's very good at that. I know Coach Gober wants to run the ball, and me being a Smith Center guy and a Wishbone guy, I'm a big believer in running the ball as well, and I think it probably opens up those long ball options for them. And the fact that they have Tate Alvers and Zach Meyer back there, and they've got, you know, a host of returning linemen, although I understand they're going to have to plug some very young kids in up in there. It's very possible that you see a 5-4 season out of Beloit, and that could be because they lost 4 games by a touchdown or less. And it's possible that you see an 8-1 season out of Beloit. I think they have a hard time with Scott City when you look at Scott City on the schedule, because Scott City has a number of pieces back,
yeah.
And they're big and physical up front, and they're going to have, you know, they're going to have 50 or 60 kids out, and over the course of a football season, when you have, you know, 33, 34, 35 guys, you're going to have some guys get dinged up and go down, and if it happens to be two or three of the, you know, two of those skill positions or one of those key linemen, it's going to make it very difficult to beat a team like Scott City, and especially when it's late in the year. But Beloit, incredibly talented, could have a really exceptional season if they stay healthy. And there's going to be a lot of tough games. I mean, you look at Concordia, the rivalry that it is. I mean, when I hear people talk about rivalries, and you know, they talk about Pittsburgh, Colgan, and Frontenac, and they talk about Smith Center and Phillipsburg, Concordia and Beloit. I mean, every time you go up to Beloit, all you hear people say is, "Man, I can't wait to play Concordia. I can't wait to play Concordia." It's like the hatchet game. It's like Garden City and Dodge City. And so that's going to be a great game, regardless of what Concordia brings back. Although they have some very good young talent. You know, you look at Colby, and they got a kid named Jordan Shippers that is arguably the most athletic player all classes in the state of Kansas. He's going to be moved to quarterback this year because he's the most experienced and most versatile after he played wide receiver and running back for much of his career. And then, you know, we've already talked about Scott City, and of course Goodland has some talent, though they lost the Archer kid to K-State, you know, after graduation, and they're certainly going to miss him. But it's going to stack up to be a tough district schedule. And it'll be really interesting to see. There's several of those games that could go either way.
All right. Who's your pick to win it all in Class 3A?
You know, I really like Sebesta because of they're going to be an inspired team, partially because of a tragedy last season, mm-hmm. on the way home from the state championship game where they lose the family members in the car accident. Just a horrible, horrible thing. And I think that's something that could be a rallying point, you know, for the community and the team again this year. And I think there's a legitimate chance to repeat there. But Andale just has so much, you know, just has so much talent. I don't know. It's just such a deep classification. I mean, any of those top five, any of those top eight, are teams that really could be a factor.
Let's go down to Class 2A real quickly. Conway Springs 1, Phillipsburg 2, Silver Lake 3, Nemaw Central 4, Hoisington 5. That looks like Class 3A rankings from previous years, but that's Class 2A. Conway Springs, a traditional power. Phillipsburg's been really good the last few years. Silver Lake, you can never overlook. Nemaw Central has been very good the last few years. Hoisington's always solid. Who do you like coming out of Class 3A to win it all this year? Or 2A, excuse me.
It's easy to mix that up.
Yeah.
Conway Springs has some beasts. They lose some guys in the backfield that were a big part of what they do, but the guys that they have up front and a couple of guys that we had in the weight room feature, Chase Oss and Daniel Becker. Chase Oss squatted 615 this summer, I think it was, and he throws around 315 on the bench press like it's a couple of pillows. And but he can also run. At the Sharp Performance Combine this summer, he was a sub 5. He ran a 4.95, and Daniel Becker also ran in the 4.9s. And these guys are playing up front for them, and they're just huge. And Conway Springs always has those guys that just kind of toss you around and are incredibly strong. And you know, I feel really good about them. I think Phillipsburg has the talent certainly to be a contender. Trey Sides is such a fine young quarterback. I mean, obviously going into his senior year, but I think he's a 4-year starter. Seems like he started since his freshman season.
Yeah.
And really underrated passer. You know, they run the bone, they run the flex bone, they run the bone, they run a lot of option football, they run it out of the pistol. But really underrated passer. Silver Lake, you can't ever count C.J. Hamilton. I don't know if you're catching or not, but you're going to find it hard for me right now to say, I think this team's going to win state. So I'm kind of rambling on about different teams that I think have a real legitimate shot at it. But certainly I think Conway Springs is a leader heading into the season.
All right, time. John Betts, he's a publisher of the Kansas Pregame Football Magazine. A couple more questions for you. Let's go to Class 1A, where Smith Center, state champion last year. Smith Center, number one in your preseason rankings. Pittsburgh Colgan 2, Centralia 3, Jackson Heights 4, Plainville 5, and yeah, it's kind of the same thing. A lot of these teams that were ranked pretty well in 2A are now Class 1A with the new classification system. Smith Center, certainly you're very close to that program, having played there. Darren Sass, now a state championship coach, his sixth year with the Redmen, and it appears, based on your rankings, that Smith Center is a team to beat in 1A, but certainly won't be easy.
Well, Smith Center is ranked number one based largely on how dominant they were last year. I really thought that Colgan and Centralia had an opportunity to maybe give them a run for their money, and as we saw, they just couldn't hang. And obviously the loss of Dalton Kuhn, who was a guy that could have easily went and had a preferred walk-on opportunity at K-State versus going to Fort Hays State, but I think he's probably going to go and have an exceptional career at a Fort Hays State program that you know could be in the conversation for a national championship here over the course of the next couple of seasons. Avery Hawkins, Colton Hutchison, Brett Meyer, tremendous athlete, safety. You know, those guys are certainly going to be missed. And the thing that makes me wonder if they can get close to repeating last year's epic run is the loss of that leadership. A couple years ago when they lost Gavin Obermiller and the youngest Rogers brother, I felt like that really impacted the team the next year in terms of losing those two key leaders. But, you know, Austin Holdman is back in the line of scrimmage. Joel Montgomery is a really great talent along the line of scrimmage. Heston Maxwell has exceptional physical tools, you know, 6'1", 190, great feet out of the backfield, ferocious hitter, nice linebacker. As I understand it, even still going into this week, they have a three-man race for quarterback. And as I understand it, it's still a toss-up. Hmm. And obviously we know it's been at least 3 years since that's happened, because I think Colton Hutchison I guess he came in the second half of his sophomore season when the starter got hurt. But, you know, they haven't went into the season with that kind of question mark at quarterback for a long time. Now, their offense, you know, you pretty much just got to be able to reverse pivot properly and then ride the fullback and decide whether you're going to hand off to the running back or not. So it's not like the quarterback has to step up and be able to throw for 3,000 yards or anything like that. But, you know, I just think that they're probably heads and shoulders above the rest of 1A, and their physicality is on a different level. You know, when they went and played El Saline last year, they out-physicaled them so much early, and I just really think they're probably the cream of the crop in this classification.
All right, John, time for an off-the-wall question, and I left Smith Center for the last, and there's a reason. Off-the-wall question, what is the funniest story or funniest thing Coach Barta has ever said that you've been around to hear? That's clean, of course, which I'm not saying he cussed a lot or anything like that, but, you know, these stories, sometimes we got to be careful.
Well, I have a personally interesting story related to Coach Barta. I don't know if this is the funniest thing that he ever said, but when I was a junior, I separated my shoulder, and this would have been the fall of 1991, just so everybody understands the perspective here. You know, going into the season, I was probably going to start at tackle or guard, you know, separated my shoulder, and man, I wanted to play. I would go and I would lobby those guys in the coach's office every day for, you know, I think I'm healthy. Can I just play a few snaps at JV? You know, and it's no, you're a varsity player. We're not going to, you know, we need to have you when we get into district time, that kind of a thing. And we are at the third game of the season, and I'm suited up, and I think if there might be an opportunity for me to play, and I'm standing on the sidelines, and I'm over off by myself because I'm thinking, really, I'm not going to, it's late in the game and I'm not going to play. And I got a few buddies that come up and they say, John, Coach Barta needs you. And I can hear him yelling, Bet! And I run up there and I got my helmet on. I'm strapping my kid strap. And he goes, hey, could you get me a glass of water?
But you were prepared to go into the game, though, John. You were prepared to go in. You were ready.
I was prepared to go in, but I didn't go get it with a cup of water. I went back to my spot sulking at the end of the row.
That's a good story. I like that. John, let everybody know. Well, I know there's tons of locations where you pick up the magazine. Is there somewhere online where people can pull it up and see the nearest location to them to get the magazine, and also let people know how maybe they can get a hold of the digital edition as well?
The best place is to come and check out our Facebook page and Twitter page, and I kind of re-up that list every now and then. The guys at K-Preps will have my list up and my link to my digital edition, and I'll get people notified on that right away. But in the meantime, just come out to Kansas Pregame on Facebook and Kansas Pregame on Twitter, and of course if you want to message me on that, I can let you know where there are copies in the area. Beloit has always been a huge supporter of Kansas Pregame, and I'm not even going to start to list the locations because there's so many I know that I'll forget somebody.
Sure.
So if you're looking for a copy in the area, follow me on social media, send me a message, and we'll get you hooked up.
Odds are there's magazines at some sponsor location somewhere in your town or area, wherever you may be listening right now. And it's lucky number 13, the 13th edition of the Kansas Pregame Football Magazine. The publisher, John Betts, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Hey, man, it looks terrific. The color is always awesome, and you guys do a lot of hard work, and many people contribute to the magazine. I know you don't do it all by yourself. If you did, you'd probably be going insane, but you guys do a great job. Magazine looks terrific, and we appreciate you taking time to talk high school football as we get ready for the beginning of the season next week.
I appreciate you having me on. I just want to tell you I really appreciate what you guys do, too. I think people see that you hustle. You're out there. You're covering your local teams. You're covering your area teams with games of the week. You're doing local news stuff. I'll say this. I think the Beloit community should be exceptionally proud that they have two really quality local radio stations that are out there hustling to try to provide news coverage and sports coverage. Because there's here in Lincoln, we don't have a local radio station. There's a lot of small communities that don't have local radio, and what you guys do is really appreciated by parents, by fans, by media guys like me. I mean, I'm listening to you all the time, so I really appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. Let me know if I can do anything else for you this year.
Well, thanks for the kind words, John. We appreciate it. Right back at you, and have a terrific weekend, and we will get ready for football Fridays and college football Saturdays and pro football Sundays. I know you and I can't wait.
Yeah, bring on Sperry, Nebraska.
Sounds good. Or whoever your first opponent is, bring them on, because everybody is undefeated when they go into the first game of the year. Thanks, John, for the time.
Thank you.
Take care. John Betts, the publisher of the Kansas Pregame Football Magazine, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.